Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, guess who we have in the studio with us? Dottie Bailey, State Representative, District 110. Got up out of bed early on this Thanksgiving Eve and came downtown. Thank you.
Absolutely. Where am I?
How are you? It's pretty early, isn't it?
It is. I'm just getting ready for my Thanksgiving with Adam Schiff, so this was a nice stop.
Oh, nice.
In his basement. Yeah.
Are you stuffing the turkey, or is he already stuffed?
Yeah, it's already stuffed. But Conan the dog and I are going to make an appearance and thought it might be kind of fun. So, good old Adam.
Sounds like an exciting holiday.
It is. Wow. That's how I roll.
Wow. Don't you wish you could have been there yesterday for the NGA groundbreaking?
Yeah, that would have been a good time.
Yeah.
Good old Adam.
Yeah. Could have rubbed shoulders
with
Adam.
But you're right, though. We're supposed to, you know. We have a decorum, and you know, when we're on the House floor, we say gentlemen, or we don't call each other representative. You're supposed to say the gentleman from St. Louis County. I would address you as,
or the gentlewoman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. So, yeah, but you know what? That's probably good. Otherwise, we would be brawling on the House floor like Parliament. How fun is the House of Commons to watch them when they say we're all, you know, kind of nasty to each other? I'm like, oh, please check out those guys. They're a ton of fun.
Thank you.
That's so funny, the contradiction between the whole uppity English thing versus the scrappy Americans. And then when you see how they conduct their legislative bodies, it's like the complete opposite.
But they have that fabulous accent and they speak the King's English, so it's okay.
It's awesome.
You can listen to it all day. You could. Yeah. And Kilmeade pointed this out the other day when he was in town Friday night. He's like, listen, you know, I've done all these stories on history, all these books I've written on history. And he said, people talk about how bad the dialogue is these days and how divided the country is. Do you people remember that they used to have duels if they insulted each other? Mm-hmm. We've come a long way, baby. I mean, now you don't do any of that.
Well, remember Jefferson called Adams a hermaphrodite when they ran against each other. I mean, now think about that.
Burn.
Back then. Holy cow. I mean, that would actually even be kind of bad now. Back then, and they were friends, but, you know, competition, you know, people are competitors.
I don't know. I think it might be worse now because the PC police would get you if you said that about somebody.
Oh, for sure.
You'd be
run
out of town on a rail.
It'd be worse for the opposite reason.
Exactly. That's wild. So Dottie, and I, of course, I follow her on Twitter, which is fun sometimes because you have an incredible number of horrific left-wing trolls. And I asked her the other day on the phone, why don't you just block those people? And you told me you can't.
You can't. No. So, I was taken to court. And last year, one of the other representatives, she had blocked somebody. And so they took her to court and the judge deemed, no, it's free speech. And so we can't. But you can mute people. So I mute a ton of people. So I don't see half the stuff that comes at me. But I don't look at a lot of it, but some of it's to me, because I have a good sense of humor and I don't take myself so seriously, I kind of roll with it. But there are some, you know, if you're sensitive, you can't read all that. I mean, I get, was it yesterday? No, the day before, somebody said, Jesus hates me. And I'm like, aw. And then my empathetic came, and I don't usually reply, but sometimes I replied and I said, no, actually, Jesus loves both you and I unconditionally, you know. And then he just went off the rails, and so I just muted him. But, you know, it's kind of sad, and it's kind of, but Twitter is also a microcosm, and it's a leftist microcosm, and they, and I really think that's like their thing is to beat, especially conservatives, beat on them so hard that we get demoralized, that will stop. And so, because that's one of the Alinsky rules, right? Rules for radicals. You personalize it, you isolate them, you dehumanize them. I mean, I've been called everything under the sun. I am Satan's spawn on Twitter. I mean, they just can't stand
true.
Me.
But, it's true.
And I have the backbone to push back against their narrative.
Yeah, you joust with them.
Oh, yeah, I do. And, you know, right after we passed the life bill in May, several representatives were threatened horrifically and threatened for their children to be raped on, you know, these were on. And so when, and then I push back, and here's the paradox, and it's really bizarre. I'll push back when and they come to me to attack me. I don't always respond, but every now and then I'm like, you know what? So I'll respond, and then they get, oh my gosh, Representative Bayless, she is so dangerous. She is an awful person. How do? And they start calling the cops. I mean, they call, and it's so strange. But again, if we don't push back, then and we go crawl in our hole and cry because somebody has. I don't know. I just have thick skin. I'm old Tea Party. I mean, you guys remember, we used to just get railed on all the time, but we did it because we believe in America. We believe in liberty. We believe in freedom and what the founders said. And you know what? Guess who had it the worst? The founders and what they went through. They gave up their entire lives, their fortunes, their reputations. All of them died half broke. If they can do it, I can take a little beating on Twitter. I don't mind. And the funny thing is, the more they rail on me, the more people start listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I do? I speak about the Second Amendment a lot. And I'm like, okay, well, and then I retweet their hate. I learned this from Andrew Breitbart years ago. He used to retweet, and he said, do that because people need to know how horrific they are to somebody that stands for the Constitution and our Bill of Rights. So I do it, and people...
It's good.
They do stop a little bit, and then 10 more come at me, but again... It is what it is. So,
you know, I understand the free speech argument. Trisha and I were actually having this debate earlier. She understands why they wouldn't let a public official block people on Twitter. My argument is just like separation of church and state. Free speech is put in there to keep the government from restricting your speech, right?
Correct.
That's why I see Twitter is a private company. Facebook's a private company. Donald Trump had his Twitter account and millions of followers long before he became president of the United States. If somebody is being nasty or negative on there and he wants to block him, I think he has every right to do that. And I think you should have every right to do
that.
You shouldn't have to take that abuse.
See, and my argument is that it's a private company, and while you're a private citizen, it's one thing. But if you're, and I don't know how you can, I see you on Twitter, but if you're conducting any business matters that involve your constituents and you block them, just like the flip test, if it's liberals blocking conservatives, I'm not saying it's right for people to come at you with hate, but I also don't think that an elected official that's been put into office by the people in their district should be able to, or the country should be able to, limit any of their constituents' access to what they're putting out there about their policy.
Mm-hmm. Then you should just have them prove they live in District 110, and if they don't, you should be able to block them.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and that could be, if you really wanted to get into the nitty gritty, yeah, absolutely. That doesn't work for the president, president, regardless of...
Well, no, he's not.
Regardless of whether they claim him or not.
He's not their president. Right. Yeah.
And it's funny, you know how Twitter, you know, bans people, mainly conservatives, and I'm always like, wonder why they don't ban the president? Because Twitter would fall in a hole if the president
owns it,
is a riot to me. Mm-hmm. So it cracks me up. But yeah, I, you know, that whole free speech thing. But and the dangerous part is when, you know, everybody has these muscles behind their keyboard, right? Mm-hmm. But there's every now and then there's dangerous people out there. So the only problem I have is when somebody tries to make me look as, like I said, Satan's spawn, I joke. But there are people out there that really then do hate me and think I'm a bad person. And if they're a little mentally off, well, guess what? You know, so... And again, another reason for the Second Amendment, defend yourselves. Nobody's going to defend me. I don't have any security, so I have to defend myself. So, you know, it's a whole circular, like I said, firing squad sometimes. And mm-hmm. It's a microcosm, and I just kind of let it go.
But your safety's at risk. If they're challenging these other representatives when the bill passed earlier this year regarding, I guess, abortion, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and they're threatening to rape their children. Mm-hmm. My goodness, we can't bring the authorities in. I guess we don't have laws on the books to help protect.
See, and that's what I think should be.
Step further.
In those mm-hmm. cases, obviously, we have the Capitol Police that step in at those, but when there's a valid threat, then they step in. So, but still, it's dangerous. And a lot of my colleagues are like, wow, you're really vocal. And, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, I don't have that fear factor. I don't know. I must have missed that brain cell. I'm not scared. And again, if somebody doesn't stand up and reveal what the left is saying and doing, then and who is. And obviously, you know, when you stand, others get a backbone and others start. And I've noticed that as well. And you know, it's just who I am. It's my DNA, and I refuse to be beat on and then put in a corner and shut up. You talk about free speech. That's what they want me to do. They want to bully me so hard. But then when I fight back and then well, she's a bully. She's dangerous. She needs to be. You know, they call me stupid. The best one is they always call me the blonde. I can't say the word, you know. FCC. Mm,
classy people.
Yeah, and so it's, you know, and horrific things, and I just, but I know enough, and I have enough principle to be like, honestly, I feel bad for him.
Yes.
And I was, you know, raised with Jesus, and I know to forgive your enemies and pray for him, but he also said, you know, you gotta kind of take
up.
It to him.
Yeah.
So.
Dottie Bailey, our guest this morning, a state representative from District 110. You recently got an appointment on the education committee, right?
I did.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
So you're the vice chair,
correct? Vice chair, yes, correct.
That's outstanding.
Yes, thank you very much.
What are you hoping to do? I know we talked a little bit about Speaker Haar yesterday, and he's a supporter of vouchers, I believe, or at least some
school choice
and some choice of what you do with your dollars. And we've yet to accomplish that in the state of Missouri,
right.
But what can be done to work toward it?
So last year we did try to get charters on the floor. We didn't even get it on the floor as we have such a, Missouri is an odd state. I think we're an odd state. I have many reasons for that, but one of them is that the education establishment is so strong, and unfortunately, who pays are the parents and the children. The parents don't really have any say in where their child goes to school. So we didn't get anything on the floor last year, but you know, I told the commissioner of education, who I like, I talked with her this summer, and I said, they know I'm a school choice person. You know, I'm very honest with people. And even if we disagree wholeheartedly, they know I'm honest. And I said to her, regardless if we get any school reform choice or not, I will do my utmost to make our current system better. And I really do believe that. And it's funny how I went into office and I didn't know. I mean, I know I've always cared about education and I love kids and I really see some suffering. Not me. I live in a great district, right? But I worry about the other kids. And so I told her, I'm like, I will do what I can to make our system better. And so I've kind of like fallen back into this, just like the rest of my life. I've fallen backwards into things, being named, vice chair of this. I think my leadership knows that I give a care and I'm not doing it for my own benefit. I really do. My heart breaks for these kids around the state that are in these horrible districts that are failing, you know, and there are, it's such a broken system. And I always knew government's inefficient, but now that I've seen it, you know, with my own eyes, and I've been able to research and think, it really breaks my heart. So I'm going to do what I can to make the system that we have better and always push for more reform.
Particularly when you look at some of those results that just came out from a couple of the districts where like 3 out of 10 kids are not meeting state standards
Correct.
For math and reading, and your heart breaks for them. And you know that there are socioeconomic reasons why the parents can't afford to maybe move from that district and send their kids somewhere else. That screams out the need for these parents to have some other option.
Yeah,
and the state teachers unions, correct me if I'm wrong, and so a lot of these school superintendents are opposed to that idea because they don't want to see those dollars be portable.
Yeah, when they say it's all about the money, it
yes.
really is.
Yes.
And you know, and I love, and that's what's hard because I've met now with a lot of principals, superintendents, and teachers, and I call my teachers, my kids' teachers, angels because they really are. They do this. Such a hard job for so little pay, and I empathize with each side, and so it's a very delicate balance. But at some point, when do the parents get to make that decision? We really don't, you know. And that's what, you know, we live in America, and the one, you know, I don't know how much I pay in taxes. It's quite a lot. You know, my real estate taxes go to the schools, but if I lived in a bad district, I would be even more livid than I am.
Right.
And it's just awful.
But you're also more likely to go to a school board meeting. Like I ask
Absolutely.
That question all
yeah.
the time. When it comes to the issue of school security, for example, mm-hmm. you're complaining about it and you're worried about it and your kids are going into a gun-free zone on a daily basis. The only people that can make a difference in that is your school board. Raise your hand the last time you've gone to a school board meeting.
Right.
Most people's hand would stay down.
Right.
They probably don't even know when the school board meets.
Right.
That group of people are the ones who will make the decision mm-hmm. on whether or not to spend the money on new AstroTurf for the football field or a secure entrance, single entrance to your school building so your kids don't end up being victims of some maniac.
You're absolutely right. And that's what our republic, we're a self-governance constitutional republic. If this republic works, you have to get off your rear end and go to every meeting. That's the reason I am in the place I'm in, because I went to meetings. Yeah. And then they said, you need to run for office. And I'm like, oh, dang it. This is what I get for showing up to meetings.
Exactly.
But if we all don't participate in self-governance, then we let the other people that don't have our best, values and interest in mind. So when somebody comes to the Capitol to see me, and I'm thrilled because, and they're not a lobbyist, they are an actual constituent of, I don't care where they live in the state, but they're coming to affect their, wield their self-governance and come talk to me, because I am not a ruler. I represent the 37,000 people in my district.
Outstanding. Dottie, so glad that you came down this morning.
Thank you so much
for having me. The time has just flown by.
Is it over already?
If you want to troll Dottie Bailey on Twitter,
please,
you can
do.
Go to at Rep Dottie B4MO, right? At
yes.
Rep Dottie B4MO. It's easy to find her on there. And then you can read all the horrible Twitter hate that she takes on a daily basis.
Apparently,
you're
the bully.
Tough.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, you made that point about the trolls. As soon as you respond to them, they push back hard. It's like fueling the fire. I see that with this show. As soon as, because people will say the most outlandish, ridiculous things. And as soon as you give them any attention, they're like, oh my gosh, she likes me, she's paying attention, look at me, look at me. It's like, oh, you're gross, go away.
Twitter's a bizarre world.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Strange.
We'll have to have you, maybe we can get you on again when we have a little more time, and we can talk about the legislative session. I think early December is when the first bills can be filed.
Yes, December 2nd.
And we can see what's on the agenda for education, and we can talk about those
you
things.
Bet.
Good. Dottie, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I'm going to Congressman Schiff's office, or basement now. I got to pick up Conan on the way. And Melania's let me wear her ugly coat, so she'll be great.
Oh, nice, nice. Watch out for Schiff. That's one big turkey.
Yes.
Big turkey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.